Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by GlaxoSmithKline, we had the pleasure of speaking with Angela Jane, MD, a gynecologic oncologist and assistant professor in the Department of Hematology Oncology at Fox Chase Cancer Center, an NCCN occult primary panel member and NCCN ovarian cancer panel member, to discuss her approach to utilizing PARP inhibitors as frontline maintenance therapy in patients with advanced ovarian cancer. During our exclusive interview, Jane discussed the current utility of frontline maintenance therapy in advanced ovarian cancer, dosing strategies with PARP inhibitors, and management strategies for common adverse effects associated with these therapies. Could you describe the current utility of frontline maintenance therapy in ovarian cancer in terms of options and eligible patients? Are PARP inhibitors considered the standard maintenance therapy for patients?
PARP inhibitors coming into frontline maintenance therapy is relatively new, but there have been several great trials that show there are some opportunities where this can be used. What we have seen with olaparib is that in combination with Avastin in patients with a BRCA mutation, germline or somatic, do benefit from PARP maintenance therapy. And so that is a treatment where olaparib is given in combination with Avastin for 2 years after initial chemotherapy and surgery. The Avastin is also usually started at the time of treatment during that paradigm, and then the olaparib is added as maintenance after it's all over. Niraparib has been given the indication for frontline maintenance regardless of a BRCA mutation, which has really changed how we think about maintenance therapy for all of our ovarian cancer patients.
In terms of dosing PARP inhibitors, what strategies are available? And in your practice, what are you typically relying on?
So in dosing, you know, the different PARP inhibitors, I think there are really great guidelines that have been and set. And so, you know, usually I try to start patients at the full recommended dose unless there's a good reason not to, you know, that is their most effective dose. We do know with niraparib that there is what GSK has called a weights and plates dosing, whereas if their weight is under 150 pounds or their platelet count is under 150,000 at the time of starting therapy, that reducing the dose at the start of therapy to 200 milligrams is worth considering to reduce their chance of cytopenias. But otherwise, there's no other recommendation at the start of therapy to dose reduce.
What are some of the most common adverse effects observed with PARP inhibitor maintenance therapy? What strategies are employed to mitigate some of these?
Common side effects of PARP inhibitors include looking for cytopenias like neutropenia, anemia, thrombocytopenia. Some patients will talk about having some nausea with the PARP inhibitors. Patients will talk about having fatigue as well. And so monitoring their blood counts, I usually monitor them weekly for the first month or two to look out for those changes and then make dose modifications as necessary. I will still make sure that patients have antiemetics at home in case they're needed. You know, fighting fatigue can be quite difficult for some patients, but I actually recommend something that's maybe counterintuitive with trying to increase their physical activity and do more strength training, as I find that a lot of these patients after surgery and chemotherapy have, you know, lost some of their stamina in general. And so in rebuilding that stamina, they unfortunately have to work at it. Specifically with niraparib, you do have to worry about them developing some hypertension and headaches, and that's something to look out for and maybe monitor a little bit more closely as well at home.
Are patients typically able to tolerate treatment, or are dose modifications sometimes required?
You know, this is going to be the first time that patients are on an oral therapy. And so, you know, some patients may assume that these drugs don't have side effects that need to be monitored. But I do recommend for the first month or two, either scheduling an every other week phone call or office visit to confirm whether or not they're tolerating the medication well. This would help look out for cytopenias and hypertension, as previously discussed. And, you know, in reminding patients that there are side effects and to call if they're having any trouble.
Do these issues change when PARP inhibitors are utilized in the recurrent setting?
So PARP inhibitors are now approved in multiple settings where we can treat patients in the frontline maintenance setting, in second line platinum sensitive setting. We can also treat patients with a BRCA mutation or HRD positive loss of heterozygosity in the recurrent setting. And being cognizant of these potential side effects and potentially thinking about when we would want to use a PARP inhibitor in those settings is something to, you know, to think about, especially considering that there is a rare risk, but not no risk of leukemia and MDS in the future. Giving thought to when to use these drugs can sometimes be a little tricky, and having that honest conversation with our patients is really important.
What is the current understanding of repeat exposure to PARP inhibitors in ovarian cancer? What's really the story there?
So one question would be, as we reuse platinum with recurrence, is, you know, the other question is, can we reuse PARP inhibitors? You know, we have a patient now that is able to receive a PARP inhibitor in frontline maintenance. Should we use it again in second line maintenance? Fortunately, recently a published study called the OREO study has looked at that and has still found a progression-free survival benefit regardless of a BRCA mutation for re-challenge with a PARP inhibitor. You know, this is one study, there are others to come, but I think it is promising that we can still hold this option again for patients if the setting is right.
Are there other ongoing clinical trials furthering the field's understanding of PARP inhibitors as maintenance therapy?
You know, I think the space of PARP inhibitors in ovarian cancer is still very much evolving, especially as newer therapies arise or even combining with older therapies. You know, we know that there might be a benefit in combining it with bevacizumab. There may be some benefits in combining it with immunotherapy. And, you know, these trials are ongoing, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results of those one day.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air, sponsored by GlaxoSmithKline. Check back on Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at EnclaveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.